Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. My name is Jared. I got Denzel with me, and we are in episode 92 today. 92? And before we get started, we have to honor this week's great player who wore the jersey number 92. Who do we got, D?
We got some heavy hitters. We got three heavy hitters. I'm going to say this one. We did have a comment on YouTube that said we needed to make a certain player 92, and we considered it. I considered it. But then I saw some other names in that 92 that reminded me. I'm like, ooh, I was ready to lean that way because I'm playing, who else we have for 92? But then I was quickly reminded. So
a brother of the Leafs suggested James Harris,
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Guy was a beast. So I liked it when I saw the name. I'm like, oh yeah. But then I looked at the list. Reggie White, Green Bay.
Green Bay. Hall of Famer. And rest in peace to Reggie White, by the way.
RIP to Reggie White, for sure. That one hit the sports community pretty hard. I remember when that happened. But then we got Michael Strahan. Reggie White.
A brother of the Leaf.
Michael Strahan, a brother of the Leaf.
Yeah.
And then Harrison. That's some heavy 92s, man.
It is. Now, we can weigh it a few ways. You know what I'm saying? Harrison, he got the rings now. He got the appearances. He got the rings. Not quite Hall of Famer yet.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Then you got the other guy, the other two, Strahan and Reggie White, Hall of Famers. Less appearances, but they do have rings also.
They got rings. They definitely got rings.
One apiece. James Harrison got two. That's what weighs in his favor.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh had like three appearances with him, so he went to the big dance a few more times. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I thought Strahan had two.
He went twice. I don't think he won. He only won one. I think Strahan won for one.
One for one?
I think so.
Because I thought he won twice with Eli. He didn't win twice with Eli? He must have got out of the league when Eli won the second one then.
I don't think so. You know, Strahan kind of got out quick and got a career in Hollywood. Like, so.
Oh, straight Hollywood.
Yeah. Like, as soon as he started getting popular, he was like, man, let me go build off this buzz. And like, he ain't look back.
Let me see. I just got to double check.
Double check it, man. You know what I'm saying? Either way, see, this is the thing. Do we honor? Because Strahan could get a little extra props for what he's done off the field. But is it about that, or is it about the work you put in on the field? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Strahan got one. He got one.
Hey, but being a brother of the Leaf does add bonus points. You know what I'm saying? We look out for our own. You know what I'm saying? Strahan has had to cover the Aficionado magazine. As much as we get on Aficionado, that does mean something.
It weighs something. For my childhood, says Reggie White.
Reggie White. My childhood says Reggie White, too.
My childhood says Reggie White.
I'm with you on that.
Never was a big Green Bay fan, but I did.
That guy.
I salute to the boy.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm going to have to give it to Michael Strahan, man. Only because we know he's in the family, man. You in the family, Michael Strahan, so.
You in the family. You right. There you have it. Hey, brother, we appreciate the suggestion, though, man. You know what I'm saying? Because James Harrison is that guy also. And he might end up being one of them guys. We talk about the guys that go underappreciated later in life. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He very well fall into that category. Hopefully he get his nod for the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And what's cool is, before we move on, and we can get into this later when we talk about what we got to talk about. But Michael Strahan, he's a product of how life is now, like with this way that these sports players are able to have a second life. I was watching Charles Barkley and Club Shay Shay, and it's like, man, a lot of people don't even know who Chuck was, but to sit back and let him tell his story, it's like letting these people relive this life that they had and not be forgotten. So it's cool. So unfortunately, Harrison, he's falling under that whole thing of kind of getting forgotten about. but we understand the impact that you had. We get it. We know it. Michael Strahan, he's taking advantage of staying in the spotlight, staying on the top of people's minds. So, but Strahan it is, man.
All right. Hey, well, let's get into these cigars, man. Let's introduce what cigars will have there. Be put in the rafters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What band's going to go up this week? Now, for me, I got an Arturo Fuente Reserva Don Carlos, number 3. Uh-oh. Fuente. See me put up two fingers? You stupid, boy. Number three, Chris. But Arturo Fuente Don Carlos. Let me get into some specs on this particular cigar. So this stick right here has a Cameroon wrapper, Dominican Republic binder, Dominican Republic filler, and a Dominican Republic origin. So that's what I got this week. Price point on this was, did I throw it away? I did not. $14.60 stick. Nice. Arturo Puente, one of our favorites, so I'm expecting good things. I will be punching on this particular stick, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Fuente, man. Love Fuente. And Dominican, shout out to the DR. That thing, Dominican through and through, I like it. Is Dominican through and through?
Nah, Cameroon wrapper.
Cameroon wrapper, okay. Oh. But majority Dominican.
Yeah, everything is DR.
Oh, man. I still owe a trip to the Dominican Republic. Gotta make that happen.
Out there, man.
Gotta make it happen. You know, I was having a conversation, and one of the guys that I work with is like, yeah, you from Jamaica or anywhere in the Caribbean? Like, there's a lot of Richardsons in that area, like in the Caribbean. I'm like, nah, but I spent a lot of time, I hit a lot of islands. That's one of the islands I haven't hit yet. Gotta get down there. Gotta make that happen.
Yeah. It's a necessary trip. I like to hit all the areas that are heavy in the cigar culture. You know what I mean? Like, there's no worthy areas.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta go on a cigar cultivation tour.
Yeah. Most definitely. Get it straight from the store.
I'm smoking H. Upman today. It's been a minute.
I ain't heard that name in a while. Why you saying
that reaction from you? I saw it. Like, you know what? H. Upman. I haven't grabbed the H. Upman in a long time. I think the last one I smoked was the Banker. That might have been like 40 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I'm back. H. Upman. I'm pretty sure it's probably been even longer for you. So you talk about 40 episodes. That's at least 40 weeks, if not more. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So I'm back. H. Upman.
We drop sometimes. It's more.
We might miss a week or two here or there. But yeah. So I got the Añejo, 1844. H. Upman Añejo.
Okay.
So give you a little bit of specs on the flavor profile. As far as harshness, it's just one tick below that that dark red, you know. So I'm expecting some spice off the top. So we have Ecuador Habano on a wrapper. Origins Honduras.
Okay.
Binder Pennsylvania Broadleaf. Filler is Dominican, Honduran, and Nicaraguan.
Mm.
So we got a mixed bag with H. Upman. H. Upman. You grabbed a little bit from here, there, everywhere, and put it in the Añejo, 1844. So we'll see how this blend goes.
We're going to see, man. That's not always a safe move, you know, the melting pot environment. So
yeah, I mean, it's good when it works. It's good when it works. But it's dangerous territories. It's very few who can get away with that that mixture and pulling things together and making it work just perfectly and making sure everything is EQ'd perfectly. So we're going to see what H. Upman can do. So I will really see about $11. $7. Okay. So nothing too hefty.
I hear you using the torch.
Well, I got the torch and I'm using some cedar spills as well. So we got the cedar going with it. So I don't wanna cook this cigar too much. So we're gonna toast it nicely. Make sure our blends are coming together just right.
Ooh, what is that? What is that? Right off the bat, what is that? I did not use the cedar stick, but cedar is in the air.
Cedar's in the air?
Aroma.
Okay.
The aroma of cedar is in the air, but there is a note that popped out right away. Right away. And I almost, what came to mind is graham crackers, but I don't know if that's really it or not, but.
All right. Okay. When I said this thing got the wrapper, it had a nice aroma that hit me. Very enjoyable, very pleasant. Also, there was some plume on my stick.
Yeah.
So I got some nice plume.
Hey, man, that's always can be a nice added touch when the plume is up there.
Yeah.
As long as it is plume and it ain't just an old stick.
All right, so I will say this. Check this out. So I was trying to go to one of my more favorite, I didn't go to Cigars International today. I was trying to go to one of my other more favorite cigar humidors, cigar shops. I couldn't make it that way. Traffic out here was insane. It was insane. So I was trying to get to the spot I wanted to go to. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to sit in traffic this long. I'm just trying to get over there. I'm going to go to the one by the house. And I don't know if you remember, you talking about the one that was by my house, who I thought was like the only cigar spot in the area, had me down about San Antonio with the cigars, had a horrible experience with the cigars from that cigar shop. And that's where I went. So in all fairness, I did get my H. Upman from the cigar shop that I don't favor as much. I haven't been back there in a while. I don't trust them. But I did say the last time I went there that they were better than the first few times, the cigar I picked up. So I'm hoping that the plume is just from good cultivation, good storage, and not bad storage. It's hard to tell sometimes when a cigar has plume, whether it's because it's been treated bad or if it's just that maturation process of the cigar as it's being kept and taken care of properly.
Right. That's what you got to hope.
We'll see.
Whatever you end up rating it, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna treat it kindly. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna understand that there is a possibility that rating could be not due to the cigar's actual fault. If it's a low score. And if it's a high score, then we're gonna take it for what it is. You know what I mean? Or if it's a respectable score, it is what it is.
Yeah, so far it's smoking pretty good. I just went ahead and put a final toast on it just to make sure I have an even burn or even as possible. So we going. The aroma's nice. The plume feels good. Has a good squeeze to it. So not too dry, not over humidified. Feels just right. So, hey, look, man. So let's get into the everything else.
Let's do it.
So as we're approaching the second round of NBA playoffs, some teams and some key players have been eliminated. And some players didn't even make it. And some players from this most recent era and previous era too, they're kind of being phased out, man. Steph Curry, all the Golden State Warriors, not in there. LeBron James got sent packing. He at home. Kevin Durant, he's sitting down somewhere. I don't know what the Clippers. I don't know what they're looking like right now. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're in trouble. So you're looking at James Harden, Westbrook, those guys, Paul George even, Kawhi, might be in a bit of trouble as far as, you know, those guys of the last 10 years, 10, 15 years of being on top. Now we got the New York Knicks with all these young players. We got Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards with Minnesota. I'm here killing it. So it's looking like it's time for a change of the guard. The old era is being ushered out. A new era is being ushered in. And I'm seeing some sad faces, man. I'm seeing some sad faces, mainly from those who, you know, a lot of them are adults now too, because you got to think when they were maybe 12 and they're 27 now or 28, 30 when they were 15, LeBron James was the guy. Steph Curry was the guy. So I'm seeing a lot of these, you know what I'm saying? We're a little older than some, you know, the 30-year-olds and 25-year-olds. So I'm looking back at it like, yeah, you there, huh? It's that time, right? You're seeing your heroes fade, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been there. We've seen it a couple times. I would say a couple times. Like mid-90s, Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, when it was time for them to hang it up. Yeah. Michael Jordan had to retire. We've seen Kobe. We've seen Dwayne Wade come and go. We've seen Shaq come and go. We've seen Vince Carter fade. Half man, half amazing. We've seen AI's career come and go. And we've had our turn. Now it's their turn.
You know, it is an interesting time, man, for a young NBA fan. You know what I'm saying? If you early in life, like you say, mid-20s, early 30s, those guys, you grew up on those guys. They were everything to you. And to see them not be superhuman no more, and to see other guys come take the crown and it be about them, the changing of the garb in the league, it's an interesting time, man. You know, and it sucks for some people. You got to build up a little bit of a tolerance to it.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you're not being, like for me, right? I'm a bad fan. I'm a fan of players, not necessarily teams and stuff like that. So I'm always kind of able to start adapting as somebody else starts impressing me. You know what I'm saying? But if you're one of those people that's just like, you know, I'm riding with this team or this dude to the end, it's going to sting. It's going to sting a lot. You know what I'm saying? I had my favorite guys that, you know, it hurts to watch them not be what they were. You know, I was a Penny fan. To me, at one point in the league, Penny was better than Jordan in my eyes.
Like, you know what I mean?
So I'm like, to see him not be great anymore, that stung. But it didn't end it for me. I just started enjoying other players that's playing at a high level. And these kids now, they're going to have to start adapting. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to start giving the next string of kids their look, man. Because like you say, the LeBrons, the Paul Georges, the KDs, it's curtains on them, man. You know, you might get another 2 years out of these guys, but maybe. You're not going to get it at the highest level.
Maybe. Like, maybe another 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just going back to my time, like when the first time I had to watch a superhero. So it's like, you know, we talked about our sports guys is we looked at them like superheroes.
Yeah.
And seeing them fade. Like Penny, his situation was a little different because he got hurt. And it's a little different when you watch a player get hurt and then they're never what they used to be. But when you see somebody who's a champion and they're just this or come close to being a champion and just never make it over that hump where they made it over the hump, they got there, but then you just watch them. You see, we had to watch Jordan retire twice, you know? Yeah. And it was shocking for me, right? And I had to live through a couple of Pistons eras. Don't get on me. I'm not for the Pistons slander today. Okay.
No, go for it. Let's hear about the Pistons eras. Let's hear about the ending of the Pistons eras. I like this conversation. Go for it.
So you like the ending part, not the winning part, the dominating part, the ending part. Yeah. But you know, it's sour. It's sour. You know, when you're watching your team and you saying you're being a player guy, so I guess we're looking at it from two different perspectives too. So you see, you get to look at the new hotness, right? Yeah. That's a new hotness. My attention is turned over here. I see the guy in the bag. He might be fading out, but my attention's on the new hotness.
Yeah, but it still hurts though.
Iverson
in that Denver jersey didn't feel good. Like, you know what I'm saying? It still hurts.
Or in a Pistons jersey or a Memphis jersey.
Especially when he got to those two. It really hurt. Like, you know?
But, being tied to the era, especially when your team is dominating, and then to watch that decline and hit that, a lot of it's a cliff or a brick wall, and it's just curtains after that. Yeah. And it's like, okay, we're tearing the whole thing up. We're rebuilding. Like when the Bulls disbanded, when Ben Wallace left the Pistons, and then the Pistons were no more the Pistons after he left, and it just crumbled after that. Watching the New York Knicks no longer be the New York Knicks anymore after Patrick Ewing went to Orlando. Weirdness.
weird.
You know what I'm saying?
But it happened.
It's like
Hakeem go to Toronto. Ugh. I dream.
It's in a Raptors, you wearing purple. Don't look right. Ewing wearing that magic blue just didn't look right.
It didn't. And I was never a huge Ewing fan, but you always had a fondness for the Knicks. And to see that organization just go away and Pat Ewing give up on him and end up in a Orlando Magic jersey. And it's like, ugh.
Like what world is this? Alternate universe, man. This is not right. Something's off. But it's interesting to see these guys who are looking at their favorites and how they herald them, and it's like watching their first experience of an ending era. And we've seen it on so many different fronts. We've seen it on sports front. Tom Brady out, Barry Sanders when he had to leave. You know, Emmitt Smith when it was time for him to hang it up, and the Cowboys were no more the Cowboys. Even though I was never a Cowboys fan, we understood the Cowboys era. Brett Favre era in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know.
Big era.
It was interesting times, man. And like I said, it's just fun to watch. Not necessarily fun to watch, but it's interesting to watch these guys go through their first time of losing their big name guys.
Let me ask you this. From your point of view, we're not just on the basketball tip, but just any sport at this point, since you kind of went through some of the football, at what point, because in football, it seems like they're better at it than in basketball, of kind of giving that, I realize this might be the end, and now we're going to just enjoy the farewell tour. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not literally the farewell tour like a Kobe guy, but I mean just like, hey man, let's just appreciate what we're looking at here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
great era Tom Brady, great era Brett Favre. Let's just appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, at what point do you click in your head as a sports fan where you're like, hey man, I think it's coming to an end. Maybe I should just appreciate it for what it is now. I mean, or does it even ever hit you with players or teams?
It does now. It does now. Like early when I was, who's saying? A young pup like some of these guys now who are watching their favorites go, it didn't click. You just thought they'd be able to do that forever. You thought AI was going to be AI forever. And it's like, man, that's AI. AI is on the Pistons now. Like, why isn't AI being Philadelphia AI? He's still, is that still AI? You know what I'm saying?
It ain't like, still AI. Why does they work?
And it's an in denial thing. You're kind of in denial about some of your favorites. You know, some of those guys that you looked up to in a sense. But even up until AI's era of him, I think that's when it probably kind of hit me the most as far as like realizing, man, just appreciate the ride. So when you get to your D-Ways and you get to your Carmelos and those guys are fading out, you just Kobe fading out. It's like, all right, well, just appreciating the ride. Watching Kobe's farewell tour, his final game, it was just fun to watch. It was just, hey, we watching the era. And it's like, man, he's calling it now. But we've been conditioned to see it.
Well, you know, a lot of guys, you see the decline to know it's coming. You know what I mean? So it's easy.
Yeah. Like a Blake Griffin.
It may be harder for a lot of people to realize that's what's going on with Bron because his decline hasn't been as steep. But we're watching it in his era, you know, and people need to appreciate it for what it is. You know, I think we'll get another season out of him because from what I've heard is his son got like a meeting with Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Really? So I think Bron, of course, he's going to stick around to see if he get drafted and stuff. So I think we'll get a year to appreciate him. But Steph Curry, you need to start appreciating him right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's somebody a lot of people are looking to say he's top 10. Start appreciating him because it's coming to an end. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's going to be weird. But I like what you said. Hey, you're a players guy. Start appreciating these young guys who are coming up, too. And like, all right, is the league going to be in good hands? Because I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was about, I want to say, maybe 2008, 2009, when, say, Bron and those guys were a little bit younger and some of the era with the style of basketball was changing. And I was kind of on the fence of whether the league was in good hands. Like, where's the league going to go? Yeah. And then about maybe 5 years ago, when I realized, now realizing that, hey, these players are going to get older and they're not going to be, James Harden's not going to be James Harden anymore. Where's the league going to go? And then now, not liking the way the game is being played, it's like, man, I'm not even going to be interested in basketball or these sports like that anymore. Because for one, I don't like the way the game is going. And then who's taking over? Who got the keys?
Yeah.
But now I'm getting excited again. Seeing
right, because you know Michael Jordan's son out there killing
Michael Jordan's son. Yeah, his other son.
his other son. Yeah. Not his one in Miami. His one in Minnesota. You know what?
They out there. Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Man, y'all crazy, man. Y'all get that off mic, man. Y'all stop saying that on the internet, man. Making up lies talking about Mike was knocking everything down in 2004. Man, y'all chill, man.
After Juanita left? After Juanita left?
I'm sure he was out there, but he didn't. I'm sure Mike didn't say that in no interview. They keep trying to say Mike was out here saying
it. He said, yeah, I was going crazy. I was going crazy in 2004. It's like, all right, Mike, you sure?
Is that on video or is that just
No. That's the quote. That's the quote. And you see the headlines, you see the picture with Mike, and then you see the quote. Mike said he was going crazy in 2004.
He was, but he ain't say that. Mike too well trained in media to admit that. But back on subject though, man. The ending of the eras though. This conversation not only goes into basketball and football and all sports, it goes into just the world in general, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I think that we're living through the end of a lot of eras of things as we know it, whether it's in technology or the workforce or wherever. Like, I think the workforce has come to the end of the era as the way we know it. You're starting to see jobs say we don't need degrees anymore. And how do you think that's going to affect school, college? That's going to affect that era as we know it as just automatically graduate and go to college and then figure it out while you're there. Those days is going to change. Like,
yeah, just the approach to life. The approach to life.
Yeah.
We're in a different era when it comes to that.
Yeah. we might be witnessing the beginning of the end of the era for the influencer. I seen some AI videos of some influencers. And them AI videos is a few months away from being hard to know the difference between reality and fiction. Like,
You know what? I was watching a video maybe about a month ago, right? And it was this guy talking about stocks and crypto. And it was him in a corner with the tickers and everything up. And I'm looking at him like, is this guy even real? And the way he's saying stuff, it sounds kind of robotic, but then it sounds kind of real. But I couldn't tell if it's AI, and then his mouth is moving, matching the words. I'm like, but you can do that now. You can make somebody's mouth match the words that they're saying in AI. So I'm like, is this guy real? Like, or is he like...
If you had to question it, he probably won't real. Yeah.
But he looks so real to the point that I had to question it.
Yeah. I have to send you some stuff off air. It's getting crazy. Because they have content where you can talk. And then they match they create a video based around your words.
Yeah.
So that's all you got to do. You just talking to the mic for however long you want. They'll build a whole video with a character based around your actual commentary. And then if you don't want to talk, you just type out your message or get AI to create you a script and then put the script in. They'll make a voice for it and then make a video around the voice. I mean, it gets crazy. But that right there in itself could be the end of an era as you know it with the influencers. We're watching what it seems to be the end of Hollywood. It's all around the corner.
What was I don't know if you shared this information with me or somebody. I can't remember who it was. But in order to finish a movie, I can't remember what the actor was. I can't remember what the movie was. But somebody told me this story. And an actor, I think, got locked up or something happened where the actor couldn't act anymore. But they had enough footage of the actor to do what they needed to do to complete the movie. They had the actor do what they wanted the actor to do digitally and say what they needed to say just to finish a couple of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could artificially create these scenes with the actor and do enough with the actor because they got enough videos, hours of tape, and enough of their voice, yeah. enough of their reading the script or whatever, to where they can create something, to where the actors don't even have to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's part of what the whole, when they were doing the, not boycott, what was it? The strike. They were,
strike.
During the writer's strike, yeah. Part of what the actors were fighting for was figuring that whole AI element out also. Because a lot of these studios feel like they just want to buy your rights and just make the video with you. I mean, just make the next movie without with you. So when they had these sequels, they like, you only got to show up for the sequel. Bro, we got enough of you. Just give us permission to make the next movie without you. So yeah. a lot of that is
show for the first movie. Yeah, that's enough. That's
be
that.
Like,
yeah,
you done, bro. We don't need you no more for the sequel. Why would I pay you another $20 million when I can do this whole thing with AI for a couple, you know, couple grand, and I got the movie done. Look, I'll pay you a percentage.
I ain't got to work around your schedule. I ain't got to work with your attitude and meet your demands and what you want in your green room or whatever.
Yeah.
In your trailer. Yeah. I ain't got to deal with none of that prima donna stuff. I just need you to sign this and let me use whatever likeness I have of you to create whatever I need to create with you.
Yeah. And I ain't got to deal with telling you how to say, hey, man, can you give me another take like this? Hey, man, that's not what we're looking for. Can you do it this way next time?
I can make it the perfect, in whatever I want to make
this take every time.
First time. Every time.
You got to waste all this footage and all this camera footage recording you for hours, doing 20 different versions of it until we get the right one. Why?
Hey, it's the end of an era and the beginning of a new era. So sports is at the end of an era with all our superstars in basketball. Even football, to a sense, you know, no Tom Brady, no Ben Roethlisberger, no none of these big name guys that we used to have. Music's on the way and find its way into a different era.
I think we're ending an era in music now, and I think
we're ending.
The new one hasn't quite started, but I think we're coming to the end of it.
We're coming to the end of the road with this particular era now, and we've seen the changes enough to where we can deal with just like how we deal with sports. You know, we've seen the '90s. Well, we've seen West Coast have it right in hip hop. Mm-hmm. We've seen R&B change. We've seen shiny suit era. We've seen R&B groups, and then R&B groups was the big thing, and now it's not a thing anymore. When's the last time you remember an R&B group?
They don't exist, man. Not in black music. You know what I'm saying? Maybe other cultures and stuff have it, but not R&B. Not black R&B.
Not black R&B.
Yeah. Not maybe in Korea R&B or something. They still
K-pop. Do groups or something.
Yeah, but they do R&B in these other countries also.
Yeah, like, they do. You know what I'm saying? Maybe killing it too, believe it or not.
It's really good music. It's really good music. Yeah.
But we see these eras moving. And we had an end of a different era. Like you said, AI. AI is taking over to where it's AI artists who are going to be AI artists, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, man, get on the AI thing. Start listening to AI music.
Yeah. It's got as much soul in it as the singers do nowadays.
Yeah.
More than the singers today.
Or more
than the singers.
And you can make the music sound exactly however you want it to sound.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Whatever kind of genre you like it. That's the genre and we can make it perfect the way you want it. I want some of that D'Angelo Neo soul. Hey, let's make me a D'Angelo Neo soul artist and make them sound just like D'Angelo did back in 95. Bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get that.
See, I always have been anti this whole thing, but I'm a dinosaur. Don't be a dinosaur like me. Don't be foolish. You know what I'm saying? Don't be no fool if you listen to this. Don't be no fool. Keep up with what's going on out here, man.
Yeah.
When the era's changed, do not get stuck thinking that you're going to hold on to it because it's moving, man. It's moving. And you might as well enjoy it because you can't stop it from happening. Just enjoy it for what it is, man.
Enjoy it for what it
is. I'm done holding
prepared
on.
Be prepared to switch. Be prepared to switch. Just latch on to it. So, hey, man, where you at with your sick, man? How's your cigar going?
Well, this is where we are in the process. Boom, right there. there is a, like I say, the aroma in the air. I pick up on cedar notes in that. There's a vanilla to this smoke. There's a creaminess to it. But then at the same time, there's like a little spice in the mix also. And that's kind of what I'm touching on at this point in the stick. But so far, it's been enjoyable. It's been enjoyable.
Okay. A-Shop, man, very smooth to start. I thought it was going to be a lot more harsh than it let out to be. Or maybe my palate just is,
here you go.
I'm mature.
The boy's the man.
I'm grown up now. But now, man, it's nice acorn flavors, pecan, acorn type of deal going on. Smooth, creamy smoke. A lot of good flavors I haven't been able to just necessarily pick out yet. More so like a ginger snap mixed with like a pecan type of deal and some coffee undertones. Not heavy on a tobacco and coffee coffee bean note, but it's there.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna see where it goes from where I'm at, see if anything else becomes more prominent or falls back a little bit more. But yeah, so far so good. Nice and smooth.
Here we go. And here we go.
So, hey, bro,
before you kick the intro off to this, man, before you introduce this topic,
I had to give it a pause.
Let me just do this, boys, man. Let me do that for the boys, man. Before you introduce the topic, man. Because I'm going to say this. We just talked about the ending of eras. These guys are from a different era than the current era.
Yeah.
I don't know how much longer the era lasts, but we almost watching these boys do a final lap as far as, you know what I'm saying, they era.
It could be.
And I just want to appreciate them in their era. I want to appreciate them. That's what I got to say about it.
So, one person's era could be coming to a close, and one person's era could be just beginning. Depending on how this beef plays out. One could be ending, and one could be really just hitting their stride, honestly. Or being solidified, like really doing this final lap. And one could be forced to end his era. But, man, we have part four. I thought this was going to be a one-time topic, one hit a quarter. Hit this topic, express our disappointments, and move on. And yet we're at a part four for this beat, this Kendrick Lamar and Drake saga. It is heating up. No. It ain't heating up. This thing is red hot. It's red hot.
It's on fire right now.
It's on fire.
Hey, bro. Here's why I'm going to compliment these guys, man, because we've complained about them, and I ain't going to complain about them no more at this point. You know what I mean? I'm going to compliment both of them for their willingness to compete.
Yeah.
For their willingness to compete. Kendrick Lamar, we saw back in the Control days, he showed that he was kind of willing to jump out there. But it became official this time, and he has been out there. I was worried he wasn't going to respond at a point. Because he was moving a little, you know, people was like, hey, give him time, it's cool. But it just, he's so quiet. I made the point in a previous episode, he releases his music so few and far in between, and he's off the radar so much that you don't even know if he's going to respond. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But he stepped up to the plate. Not only did he respond, he really gave a good effort for it. Kudos to Kendrick. Drake. Biggest hip-hop artist in the world with nerd origins, yet he still competes. He comes from a background rap, backpack rapper influenced background. Shouldn't necessarily have the urge to compete, but is fearless when it comes to compete, man. He competes every time out, and he got the most to lose out of everybody, but he won't. But he seems to enjoy it, bro. So props to him.
He puts it on the table, and like you said, props to Drake for it. I'm going to be honest. I say Kendrick's up in this beef as far as like the diss records go. I will say I think that Kendrick is up right now. But shout out to Drake for the boy never backs down.
He got no back down.
What they say, what they've been saying, I don't know if it's still the term, but he's standing on business or whatever. Yeah. He's definitely has done that throughout his career and even up until this point. And you can even tell that that's not even really his character. But when it comes to hip hop, I think he's so much of a hip hop enthusiast and he actually does love the genre enough to be willing to, hey, I'll go bar for bar with you. It's cool. It's whatever. Now, whether he's writing it all himself, I don't know. but at least he's willing to get out there, you know what I'm saying? And make himself vulnerable enough to take some blows. Because the boy is taking some blows.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, Drake ain't battling no punks. That's the other thing about it.
Yeah, no.
He's battling no punks.
Yeah.
We didn't know Meek was going to be a soft touch for him. He made him into a soft touch. We didn't know that was going to be that.
Because we
Pusha
thought
T ain't no soft touch just because he ain't no selling millions of records. Hey, he ain't nobody's walk in the park, right? You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Who was his other battles? Common, like, you know, Common. Hey,
and Common's
nothing
Common
to play with.
Yeah, Common's Common,
bro. Yeah. I mean, so, and now Kendrick, who everybody was saying was the boogeyman. Hey, man, shout out to Drake, man. But
shout out to Drake, yes,
I'm with you. If we going to, okay. Let's take it back. I think last we spoke, Kendrick had not responded. Last time we spoke on this topic, right?
Yeah.
Since then, Tuesday of this past week, he dropped Euphoria. Now, my thoughts on Euphoria, think I might have hit you right away. I'm like, yeah, I gave you the little yawn in face. I'm like, hey, man, Kendrick's a weird dude, man. I really don't get him. Like, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't get past the weirdness. So I had to play this track several times before my ear tuned out the weirdness and locked in on what he was actually saying. Now, let me say this. Kendrick, from my understanding, is highly influenced by Eminem, like, which explains the little weird voices and stuff he does. Mm-hmm. I don't like that from M either. So that whole stuff turns me off. But after kind of giving Euphoria a chance, I'm like, hey, dude really is saying some stuff. We got a close battle on our hands right now. After I was able to accept it, I'm like, okay, we in a battle. So at this point, it's push-ups versus Euphoria. I gave Drake the nod because I didn't have to listen to it so many times to be able to really appreciate
it.
Yeah, because most time you don't give a song the benefit of the doubt. So I need to feel you right away. You know what I'm saying? So for that reason, I gave Drake the nod. Then after that, Euphoria, Kendrick said back to back, I like that. Matter of fact, I'm going to get back to that. You know what I'm saying? He came back to back. He came out with what, 616 in LA?
Yeah, 616 in LA, yeah.
Spitting on that joint. You know what I'm saying? Then after that, Drake give him what? Wait to Friday. When did 616 come out? Wednesday? The next day?
Thursday. I think it was like Thursday or something like that.
Thursday?
Yeah, came Wednesday, Thursday. Right? Sometimes we came out quick.
Euphoria Tuesday, 616 Thursday. Drake came out, Family Matters on Friday. You know what I'm saying? Drake getting off on the joint. But before you can process the record, it's like 15 minutes later, Kendrick drops Meet the Grams. And it's like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, these guys. And they finally get to the point where the punches, they're throwing with the intention. They're throwing their punches with a little intention on it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're trying to
push some steam on it. Push-ups, it felt like they still was kind of being friendly a little bit, like careful with each other's feelings. Now, this next round, it's like, all right, they fighting now for real. And I'm going to say this. I think the battle should probably stop here because if they want to maintain a relationship after this, they can still be cool after this last round.
There's
nowhere to go beyond. If they go another round, there's nowhere else to go.
Disrespectful. Like
that's the only place left to go, bro. Is uber disrespectful now. Like I mean, if they go there, they go there. I can't tell two grown men what to do, but I think this is probably a nice, safe stopping point in the battle.
Yeah, I would honestly say, I think hip hop fans are satisfied now. We weren't satisfied. We weren't satisfied with Cole's response. We weren't necessarily satisfied with, I would even say, Drake's first go at it. Mm-hmm. Me personally, and I'm speaking personally, you said you thought the Kendrick Lamar joint was weird at first, and then took you some time to process it and then actually appreciate and enjoy it. Me, even to this point, I still don't like E40. I don't like the way it sounds. I don't like his approach. I mean, I can appreciate what he was saying, and I can appreciate how he had the the subliminal, not necessarily subliminals, but like the hidden meanings.
All the little hidden, yes,
yeah,
a lot of little hidden stuff that he was saying.
So when you have to decode it, right? I can appreciate the artisticness of putting stuff out to where people can talk about it for several weeks, just breaking the record down and decoding what he's saying.
Yeah.
But as a song, I don't like the song as a song. About what he's saying, like is he throwing punches in what he's saying, and is it something like intriguing to decode? I've been having fun with it and listen to like all the videos of people breaking stuff down and say, oh, he did this because of that, and this correlating to that, and the Teddy P with the wheelchair, and then the whole whatever.
He's calculated. Into it. The boy calculated.
So I can appreciate that, but as far as a record being just a record, off the face value of a record, I don't like the record. I think it sucks. I'm going to be on record with saying that. And I got even further on record to say that I felt like Chingy's diss, it's pretty much the same. On par with Chingy when he dissed Nelly. That's how I felt about the record.
You putting that on wax, huh? You said it. You did say that.
Putting it on wax. I'm saying it, and I'm standing on it. I don't like the record. I think it sounds horrible. All right? But I can appreciate I can appreciate the fight. I can appreciate the fact that, you know, he's competing, he's fighting, he's throwing out some things to go on the offensive, and then also to remain on the defensive. And just, hey, look, I'm shooting back, I'm punching back. This is what I got. I just didn't like the package, how it was packaged.
Right.
Could have did better from an MC standpoint, from a music mind standpoint, from a hip hop fan standpoint. That's where I'm at with it. But I think the follow ups, the Euphoria, not the Euphoria, but the 616
and Family Matters. I mean, Meet the Grams.
And then Meet the Grams. I felt Meet the Grams was a little across the line.
That's what I'm saying, man. We
crossed the line.
I said Kendrick's a little disrespectful after he dropped that record last night. And Drake won't that respectful either. That's why I say they have both they both walked up on the line of no return.
Yeah.
Now how far across it do you go at this point?
Like
if the battle should end, if you've gone as far as y'all want to go and y'all actually want to be cool again after this.
Or it not be taken further, because at this point you gotta fight. At this point, you got to fight.
You talking about if it go any further or just now already?
If it go any further, you actually got to throw hands. I ain't saying anybody got to shoot anybody or anybody can't got to go at them. Y'all got to go. Y'all got to step man to man. Y'all got to fight. If it go any further than this, you just got to fight. That's it.
Yeah. And look, three records a piece is enough at this point in time. You know what I'm saying? Like hip-hop, when do you get more than that? From here on, I think I'm cool with
usually
it.
Get
I
two.
Think they gave
usually
us get enough.
Two. Yeah, usually Max, you get two.
We got two and some. We got two and a little extra one where they were just kind of teasing each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now they can go off into the. They can both ride off into the sunset at this point and just take their little shot here and there over the next few years. But they ain't got no more dedicating songs to each other, because you fed the fans at this point in time. In my opinion, that's why I gave them the clap in the beginning. You fed the fans. We have a moment in history, in hip hop history. You guys are a part of it. Y'all did that. Y'all gave that to the culture. And ultimately, last night, Friday night, is probably the best ending you can give it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you watch a fireworks show, it felt like the end of the fireworks show last night. Big culmination.
Boom, 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 boom. I think that's what we got. Waking up, and you sent me the messages, and me going back like, "What just happened? What happened?" And trying to figure it out. What happened? That's the crescendo. It's we there. And like I said, being very dissatisfied in the very beginning with how everything was playing out, and it wasn't cool. Even at the beginning of this week, we're going from the beginning of this week to the end of the week, concluding the week, I'd say hip-hop fans were satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
I was, hey, my hat goes off. My hat goes off too. So
they gave us a moment, bro. They gave us a moment. And up until this point, we had never seen anything quite like it because it's a new era. You can never do a moment like this at any other point. So this is brand new to us. Like,
as far as like the fast firing back, and then also the approaches to the songs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you couldn't do what Kendrick Lamar is doing back in the when Jay-Z mentioned the baby seat joint, Connell's on the baby seat, that was you gotta apologize for that. That's
yeah.
But if you take that one bar from Jay-Z and you measure up what Drake was saying and what Kendrick Lamar said, they went way past those bounds where people felt like Jay-Z, nah, you crossing the line, man. Yeah. That was a little bit much right there.
Yeah.
Because we there. Like, yeah, when you calling people pedophiles and that's
he gave a whole verse to each of his kids. Each of his kids got a whole verse.
You talking to the kids?
You talking to my son about how to be a good man, to not be like me? It's some disrespectful stuff, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, clever. You know what I'm saying?
The accusations.
It's both ways. I mean, Drake said he beat his woman. That's a tough accusation.
That's another one right there. Yeah. To mention that one.
That kid ain't yours. That's a tough accusation, bro. Like,
talking about your significant other's ethnicity, who you had, like, that's... We gotta fight. We gotta put gloves on, man. I'm sorry. It's beyond hip-hop at that point. Not to the point of anybody losing their life, but we gotta put gloves on now. We got to put gloves on. I think
they can work past it, bro.
I don't want to hit no more records.
But they done hit each other hard enough. You know what I'm saying? They don't need to go any further. Because the only next step is that's why F-Joe B, you fat MF, take money. That's the only next thing. West Side. Like, that's, you can't go nowhere else but that next. And then there's no repairing it when you go there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so they need to just, hey, it's cool. Now, I got a question for you, bro. Let's talk about the Strays in this battle. Because the Strays have been loose.
And they've been fun. They've been fun.
Okay. I'm going to give you three questions. Who caught the worst Stray? Who caught the funniest Stray? And who caught the most Strays?
I think Ross caught the funniest Stray.
Ross 100% caught the funniest Stray.
Cole still was catching Strays. Even though Cole dipped out, he's catching Strays.
Cole caught the most Strays. That's my answer for the most. He caught the most. He just keep catching them. It's floating under the radar, but Cole just keep catching Strays.
I bowed out. Like, why you keep shooting at me, man? Why am I catching Strays, man?
There is not a record where Cole don't get brought up in some form. So he's been catching a lot of them along the way. Like, but Ross is the funniest, man. When he say that, you know, put you behind bars like Ross old job and have Ricky Reed, Miranda. Yeah, boy, I was rolling, boy. But Metro got the hardest Stray still to this day.
Yeah. Gonna make some
that problems. Line is like a, that's the quotable from the whole beef.
That's the quotable. Yeah.
That's the worst part from the whole beef. That's the quotable. Like, that will forever, you can say that to anybody. Like, that might become the meme. Like, you know, in the future, when people come back, you know, they like to double back like 5 years and make a meme out of something.
Mm-hmm.
Metro, shut your that's going to be the meme, bro. Like, he caught the worst Stray out of everybody.
Like, yo, it was just my song. I ain't telling them what to say. It was just my song, man. Come on. I even seen somebody make a video of Metro responding with the beat. Like, he was rapping. It was just nothing but like drums and the beat. Every time he got mad, the beat would get a little bit more intense.
Yeah. Boy, the internet ain't nothing, man.
Well,
but yeah, you said earlier you got Kendrick up. I'm going to say this because I know we got to close out on this subject. I got Kendrick with the momentum. I'll say that. Okay. I don't want to say who's up necessarily.
Okay. But you say you got the moment.
Yeah, I think I look at this fight like this battle goes this way for me, right? It's a battle where there has not been a clear-cut winner. There were no knockouts. So anytime something goes to the cards and you got to make a decision, you got to make the let the judges decide, it's going to come down to a lot of preference. I think each fan base got an argument for their guy of why they got one. But I think Kendrick has the momentum if it stops here today. You know what I'm saying? He's got the momentum in favor. So he will probably get more people saying he won than Drake will.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we're talking strictly hip-hop and strictly how the records were approached as far as, like, just spinning, rapping, me personally, I favor Drake's style more. So I like Drake's records more.
Well, he's the better song maker as far as just a song.
But as far as who hit the hardest and who probably threw some more knockout blows or who connected the most, if you count who connected punches the most, I say Kendrick connected way more punches.
Yeah.
If you're judging your cards off of punches landed versus punches thrown, Kendrick got more punches landed.
I agree with that. I agree with that take. I think Drake probably had the better songs, like just listening and enjoying listening the songs. But Kendrick probably connected with the most scoring blows in the battle.
Yeah.
But it the thing is that hurt Drake, that song that he dropped, Family Matters, he had that in the tuck. Because you heard it at the end of Push-Ups. So it was a continuation of what he did on Push-Ups with all his attention.
Euphoria.
He kind of went back and you could tell he added some lines responding to Euphoria, but it was too much. And the video was responding to Euphoria, but it was too much giving other people attention, which was what he was doing in Push-Ups. A lot of moments dedicated to Kendrick, but everybody got his attention. Like, he told A$AP Rocky behind up in this last joint. Like, he got a hold of Ricky. They got large chunks of that song, Family Matter.
Yeah.
The whole time, Kendrick's attention was solely on Drake. So, and Drake
is.
And it's, yes. So, that's where Drake misplayed his hand. He should have just put Family Matters out immediately instead of that AI Tupac record. And then he should have gave Kendrick a brand new record on Friday.
Yeah, that is one thing that I did mention yesterday. Was it yesterday? Where I talked about the order of the release of these songs. You disagree with me. I feel like me as a hip-hop fan, I would have liked to have heard 6:16 first and then Euphoria after that. I felt like the impact to me would have been a bigger impact for Kendrick. Even though I feel like I got Kendrick up. And it took for that third one for me to put Kendrick up. But me personally, just from my listening ear, I would have liked to hear the second one first and Euphoria second.
I understood why you said it.
And then
because 6:16 sounds like it should have been first in the order. But it would have been building to something. But
yeah,
I just don't think the fans would have allowed it. And that's why I was saying.
They probably wouldn't allow it. But as far as like listening value and catching my attention, that would have caught my attention because I didn't even want to listen to 6:16 first until you vouched for it. You had to vouch for it for me to listen to it. I was ready to listen to Euphoria because, Kendrick Lamar.
What'd he say? Finally. Yeah.
But then I heard it, like, I get it. He's being clever. He's being calculated. He's being witty. But I don't like it. So I don't want to listen to anything else. But somebody had to, you had to regain my attention back to Kendrick and say, nah, listen to it. It's, he gone. He spit.
Like, right. Yeah. Well, hopefully part four is it. Hopefully we're done with this, man.
Let's see if we got part five. It's got to be really interesting.
My vote to the guys, man. They did their thing, man. They get off of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know how you can make this more interesting other than getting in that square circle.
That's all that's left, bro. And this is a battle that I really want to just enjoy for hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see it go to nothing else, man. Especially with these two guys who ain't of that ilk anyway. It ain't no need for it to go there. So hopefully it don't have to, man. But good battle, man. Good moment in hip hop history.
All right, man. Let's talk about these things, man. Yeah, let's review it. What we got?
I'll kick it off. I got the Arturo Fuente Reserva Don Carlos number 3. Here's what I got within my stick. When I started this cigar, I started immediately noticing some cedar notes in the air that I picked up on. Didn't really pick up on it while actually smoking the cigar. Along the way, though, it was like something kind of sweet. I said it reminded me of a graham cracker very, very early on. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it wasn't. I never really clarified what that was. But I did notice a couple earthy notes along the way. A little bit of spice mixed in within this cigar. It was some creaminess on the smoke. I would say a nice medium to full body cigar. It had vanilla notes that I picked up on. And I've heard of cigars having this, but this was my first time experiencing what came across very floral-like, very floral notes in this cigar. Yeah, so that was a cool little touch also. Something new for me, because like I said, I don't recall experiencing that or realizing I was experiencing it. And this was so obvious that I picked up on it. So that was a cool little touch on it. Overall, it has been a very enjoyable cigar. I think from 1 to 5, though, I'm going to give it a 3.7 is my score for it.
Okay. Hey, I think I'm right there in that same ballpark with you with my H. Upman. I will say this, however, not even a however, because 3.7 is really, really solid. But this is a solid return back to H. Upman. Well received. Definitely, I need to keep some. I'm going to start keeping a list of cigars I want to keep in the stash for particular reasons. Like, we always know that even though a cigar might not be your favorite, but it might just hit you at a point to where I can see where I can enjoy the stick with the cigar.
You've been telling me that for years, too, bro. And yeah, I've been co-signing that idea for years, and neither one of us moved on it.
I got to do it. I got to make sure I keep a list of sticks and go back to band saving, maybe, of cigars.
Bro, you got an S Pen. You ain't got an iPhone. You got an S Pen, bro. Just do it.
I got something to tell you later. Matter of fact, I'll tell you now. I got an S Pen. I was in my studio trying to come up with some new songs, some new jazz, some new Nog Champa stuff, right? And I'm coming up trying to come up with some chords and notes. I'm like, I need a pen. My phone's sitting right there. And I'm getting up, walking around looking for a pen. I went back to my studio. S Pen, why don't you just write down more? Kill me. I'm like, really?
iPhone? What are you doing?
Yeah. Picked up my pen, wrote out my notes. I'm good. I got it. It's good. But anyhow, yes.
Yeah, man. Get out of 2015 with the iPhone users, man. Come on, bro.
For real, man. But yeah, this is one of the cigars I think I want to keep in my stash, man. Like, it just has this nice subtleness to it, right? A hint of pepper. Which, if you don't want something that's peppery, but you want something that has just enough to say you know it's there, and it sits right on the palate, that undertone of pepper, and it's just right. Doesn't hit you hard in the beginning, doesn't hit you hard in the second, third, but it's just right, just there. A really nice, subtle pepper. I think this cigar has done it probably one of the best that I've had in a while, as far as just a nice, subtle pepper that just rises to the undertone. On top of that, has some nice wood notes, some, like I said, some pecan, some, the wood notes feel like a bark, like a wood bark type of deal, and then some pecan and a hint of like a ginger snap. I think that's that pepper that I was getting, that little bit of spice, like the spice from like a ginger snap or something like that. I think that's where I attribute that subtle spice to. That's in there, and it's just a nice light aroma, not heavy. The aroma was heavier in the beginning. It's kind of dissipated now, but it's left this like nice little airiness of a subtle aroma too. That's just right too. Not overpowering, not overwhelming, but just cool. It's like a real cool stick. And the cigar is nice. Even though that profile was up higher than that mid range, it's like a nice, smooth, chill cigar. It just gives you a nice bit of some subtle flavors, like that pepper, that bark, that wood, that pecan, that ginger snap. It's really enjoyable. Very likable. So I'm right there with you. I'm going to give mine a 3.8. Just because H. Upman, I liked it. It hit me in the part that I really wanted. Like, nothing of it, my highest favorites. Like, it doesn't get me there, but it just gets me right on some of my keynotes that I like. And it's just right there. just solid, smooth and solid. So A. Shupman, shout out to you for this. Anejo, I like it. 3-8 on it.
Hey, man, that's a good score. Good score. All right, y'all. There we have it. This is the Michael Strahan episode with the honorable mentions of Reggie White and James Harrison. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. Y'all keep them sticks up and keep your battles peaceful. We out.